Book of Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. We'll ask you to stand this morning if you're physically able. And I'm not going to be preaching from this entire chapter, but I'm not going to make you stand for the reading of this entire chapter. We're just going to read a few selective verses and then have a word of prayer and you can be seated. But I do trust you'll keep your Bible open and go with us through the scriptures. We'll not be long this morning, but I want you to see what's written in this chapter here concerning the subject that we're going to deal with. And let me just mention this. Always take your Bible to church. Can I get an amen right there? You say, well, I don't have a Bible. We'll see me after the service. We'll give you one. But always take your Bible to the house of God and don't use your cell phone. Amen. Now, nothing wrong with having the Bible on your cell phone, but y'all not have your cell phone in church. Can I get a witness on that? And when you come to church, you bring a King James Bible. And you open the Word of God, amen? And you let people see, people in the community, you let them see you carrying your Bible to your car and see them carrying your Bible to the parking lot, through the parking lot and come into the house of God, amen? Christians, I'm talking about Christians now, they carry their Bible to church, don't they? Can I get an amen right there? I know we live in a world of technology, and I'm not against technology, but there's no substitute for this book right here, amen? And so if Hebrews chapter number 2 this morning, I just want to read a few selective verses. Look with us in verse number 1. The Bible said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now notice this phrase here, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Then look at verse number 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Then verse number 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then verse number 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Father, Lord, I ask you this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would bless the reading of thy word. I pray, God, that you would give us liberty. I pray you'd give us wisdom this morning. Help us, Lord. I pray you'd set a watch before our lips that we'd not say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. But God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray your Son would be magnified and the church would be edified this morning. I ask, Lord, that if there be a sinner in our midst, may the Holy Ghost deal with their heart this morning. May they see themselves in need of a Savior. May they come, Lord, to an altar of repentance this morning. And by faith, may they believe the gospel and be born in the family of God. I pray, Lord, for any backslider this morning, that God, you would help their heart, encourage those that may be discouraged. We pray, God, you'd strengthen the weary this morning. And Father, we pray that we'd see no man save Jesus only. And we ask it all in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention here in just a few moments to these selective verses that we have read in Hebrews chapter number 2, but I would say on the outset of this message this morning that this chapter can be divided into two parts. The first four verses has to do with the warning that is from Christ, and then verses 5 down through verse number 18 has to do with the work of Christ in and of itself. And when you think about the warning of Christ, what the writer is saying here, if you notice in verse number 1, he gives a command here. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, when he talks about giving heed to the things that we have heard, you go back to chapter number 1. That's why he uses that word, therefore, in light of everything that has been said. And if you remember in the first four verses of chapter number 1, he talks about Christ and his ministry, how that he is a better prophet. He is a better priest, and thank God he's a better king as he sat down at the right hand of the majesty that is on high. He talks about the deity of Christ and the incarnation of Christ, and he talks about the atonement of Christ and the ascension of Christ. All in just four verses, he wraps it up to prove the point that Christ is better than the prophets. Amen. Well, he moves from the prophets of the Old Testament to talking about Christ in verse number 5, verse number 4. Of chapter 1 being better than the angels. Amen. Being made so much better than the angels. Amen. And he uses 7 Old Testament quotations. He uses Psalms chapter 2 and 2 Samuel chapter 7. He uses Psalms 126 and Psalms 110. He also uses Psalms 45, all to prove that Christ in the Old Testament is better than the angels. Amen. He's better in his sonship in verse 5. He's better in his worship in verse number 6. He's better in his kingship in verse 7 and 8. He's better in his rulership in verse number 10. I'm telling you, Christ is just better. Amen. And because of what we know, he said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He gives this command here. It's often like a ring slipping off your finger, or like maybe a snowflake that falls on your shoulder and just quickly passes away. He said, do not let the truths of what you have heard and what you know, do not let them slip away from you. He talks about this, and you know, when you think about it, you think about the tide of years and the tide of the familiarity of truth and the tide of busyness and the tide of worldly pleasures and the tide of pressure of society. All of these things, what they can cause is they can cause an individual to backslide by forgetting the things that we have heard. Amen. I'll just remind us this morning on the outset of this message that you and I, we are blessed individuals because we have a copy of the truth. Amen. You know why you should always bring your Bible to the house of God? Because you have one. Amen. You ought to never leave it at the house. I'm telling you, if God give you a Bible, two-thirds of this world's never heard a clear presentation. There ought to never be a church service we don't carry our Bible. Amen. And there ought to never be a day we don't read our Bible. Amen. I'm telling you, if men can give their lives so that we can have a copy of the Word of God, at the very least, we can read the Bible. Amen. I'm saying this morning there is a command. And then he talks about the consequences in verse number 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and we know it was, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now think about this. A good illustration of verse 2 would be Lot's wife. Amen. She heard the truth given by angels. But you know what happens whenever people begin to drift from the truth? They begin to disobey the truth. Amen. Lot took his family to Sodom. They drifted from the truth. And in the end result, they disobeyed the truth. And because she didn't listen to the word that was given by angels, God turned her into a pillar of salt. I'll tell you this morning, if we don't listen to this book, we're going to get in real trouble. Amen. I don't care who you are. Don't care what your plans are. If you don't obey the word of God, you disobey this book, there is consequences. And friend, it will come to pass in your life. Amen. There's the consequences. He talks about the communicators in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Notice he doesn't use the word reject, but he uses the word neglect. Amen. Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that are heard of him. And so there are those, the angels, the Old Testament prophets. They preach the word of God. We've heard from the apostles. We've heard from Jesus Christ himself. And the greatest confirmation is given in verse number 4. He said, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we've been given a warning this morning that we have the word of God, and what we do with that book will determine how our life turns out this morning. If we let these things slip, and I'm going to tell you, it happens a lot in church, doesn't it? People sit in church, they hear preaching, they just don't listen to it. Amen. They get on their cell phone, or they get off thinking about what they got to do, or like Brother Treber said, they count the ceiling tiles. The devil, one of his greatest tools is distraction. Amen. And when we come to church, we come to get help. Isn't that right? And the only way to get help is to take heed to what we have heard. Amen. I'll tell you, we've all heard enough truth to save the world 10 times over. Amen. But I'll tell you, if we don't put that truth in shoe leather, if we don't practice what's preached, guess what? We're going to get in trouble. Amen. I'm telling you, you can go to hell from a good church. Amen. You can go to hell from a church pew just like you can a bar stool. That's because you got saved parents and grew up in church. I don't assure you a ticket in heaven. Amen. You got to be born again. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be saved by grace. Religion never got nobody to heaven. It'll send you to hell just as quick as alcohol or any other sin you can think of, because people don't go to hell because of what they do. They go to hell because of who they are. Amen. We're sinners, aren't we? And sinners have to be saved. And then people backslide on God sitting in a good church because they don't listen to the truth. But when we come to verse 5, the writer is going to change gears. He has talked about in chapter 1 Christ being the selected one, Christ being the supreme one. But now he is going to talk about Christ here in the rest of this chapter being the submissive one this morning. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on Christ, the submissive one. Amen? Because when you come to this chapter here, he is still talking about angels, but he's going to talk about angels in a different light. You say, what does angels have to do with Christ being the submissive one? Well, notice what the Bible says in verse 5. He talks about here the sovereign ministry of Christ, his sovereign ministry. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Christ created all people, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? He not only created all people, but thank God he cares for all people. He visited us. He said, notice here it is, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the world works of thy hands. Thou puttest all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all the things that are put under him. So what the writer does here is he begins to talk about Christ and his sovereign ministry. He created all things. He cares for all people, and he's commissioned all people. All things are under his feet. In fact, the writer said in verse number 8, there are things that we have not seen and we do not know that are under the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm saying this morning that Christ not only had a sovereign ministry, but he had a submissive ministry. Look at verse 9. He said, but we see Jesus. Now, I want you to notice how we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Do you notice in verse number 7 and in verse number 9 and even in verse number 16, he talks about Christ being made lower than the angels this morning? I got a question for you. How can someone that is better than the angels be lower than the angels? There's only one way. Christ is supreme. He's the one that God selected. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. But in this verse, or this chapter, he is lower than the angels. Why is that? The only reason is because the Bible says all things are under him. In fact, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. But yet, he is lower than the angels. Why is that? It is because Christ has submitted himself. Amen. And can I say this morning, when we think about the work of Christ, we do not think much about his submission. I'll tell you, Christ is made lower than the angels. In verse 9, it tells us about his humanity. He was made lower than the angels. You see, God's direct order is that there is God, there is angels, there is man, there is animals, and then there is plants, and then there is inanimate, which is those objects that have no life, those materials that have nothing to, no life in them. That is God's direct order. And what Christ did, he submitted himself. He became lower than the angels. Why would he do that? Look at verse 9. For the suffering of death, amen, a crown with glory and honor. Why? That he by the grace of God should taste death
death for every man. Why would Christ condescend? Why would he leave the portals of glory? Why would he get off his throne? Why would he become a man? I'll tell you why. Because he loved you and because he loved me. Oh, sinner, do you realize how much Jesus loved you? He left the portals of glory. He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his splendor. He submitted himself so that you could be saved. Hallelujah. You know, man thinks a lot of himself. But when you look at us through the light of God and his word, we're nothing today. Psalms 8, he quotes, "What is man that thou art even mindful of him? And the son of man that thou would visit him." In verse 9, we see Christ in his humanity and his humility. We see his hurt for the suffering of death, his honor crowned with glory and honor. We see his help by the grace of God and his heroism, that he tasted death for every man. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the shed blood. Thank God that he was willing to go. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to die. He was willing to become a man. Hallelujah. Do you believe Jesus is God this morning? You can't be saved if you don't believe that. That's the deity of Christ. That's why the Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse 10, Christ humbled himself. And James 4 and verse number 10 said, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." He said in verse 6 of that same chapter, "But God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble." I'm telling you, if you'll humble yourself, you'll find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. But if you're proud and you're stiff-necked and you reject God, you'll surely die and go to hell. But if you want help, all you got to do is humble yourself. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 said, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season," due time. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, the way up with God is down. Amen. In fact, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, think about this. He said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." He said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Amen. Then catch this verse here. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Amen. I'm telling you, Christ had a mind when he was here. Even though he was God in the flesh, he looked not on his own things, but he looked also on the things of others. He had in his mindset that he preferred others better than himself. Jesus never spoke about himself. He spoke about his Father. He never elevated himself. The Holy Spirit never magnifies itself, but it always elevates the Son. You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying submission. Christ submitted himself so that you and I could go to heaven. Amen. Now, sinner, if Christ could submit himself to this world to become a man, to go to the cross, to die, to take our sin and die in shame, if Christ could submit himself to that, don't you think this morning you could submit yourself to Christ to be saved? You know why people go to hell? A lot of people go to hell because they never heard the truth. A lot of people go to hell because they reject the truth. In fact, the Bible says they've not all obeyed the gospel. See, it's not enough to just know the gospel intellectually. It's not enough to even be convicted about the gospel. You may be here this morning and know you're a sinner, and you may be under conviction right now. That's not going to get you into heaven. You have to obey the gospel. You have to come and you have to accept Christ as your Savior. A pastor called me this week and he said, "I'm going to preach a message Sunday morning at my church." And he said, "You know the song, 'Away in a Manger'?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm going to preach on the way in a manger." Because Christ said he is the way. He said, "What do you think about it?" I said, "It's a terrible thought." I said, "Let me preach it Sunday and I'll let you know how it goes." Amen. I thought it's pretty good. The way in a manger. Jesus said, "I am the way. Any man that cometh up," John 10, "another way," he said, "he's the same as a thief and a robber." You can't make your own way to heaven this morning.
You can't say, well, I'm just going to pray to God in my own way, in my own form. Now, I understand we have to call upon God ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, if you get saved, you're going to come by way of the cross. Amen. You got to humble yourself. You got to repent of your sins. You got to believe the gospel. Amen. You can't make your own way to heaven. Somebody said, well, all roads lead to Rome. And they may be, but we're not talking about Rome. We're talking about eternity and heaven. And if you're going to go to heaven, friend, you're going to go God's way, or you'll die without God and you'll go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell, do you? I don't want anybody to die without God. And I believe there are people that are just searching for the truth. Talked to a man this week that said to me, he's saved now. He got saved back in March. But he said before I got saved, he told me some of the stuff that he believed. And of course, he knows that's not true now. Brother Lighty, he was telling me some of the things. He told me things that people believed about the Bible. I'm telling you something. I never heard it in all my life. It was as far out in left field. I'm telling you, if I was to tell you what he told me, that he believed, and ultimately it actually scared him to death. It was so demonic, and it was so strange, and it was so warped and so weird that if I told you that, you'd look at me and you'd think I lost my mind just for sharing it with you. I mean, I never heard anything like it in my life. You know, the devil would roll anything out to get someone to believe anything and put a little bit of Bible in it just to get them to believe it so they don't believe the gospel. Amen? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, not the eyes, but blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto thee. I'm going to tell you, I praise God. The further I go in this life, I thank God that one day I heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I thank God that somebody took a Bible and told me how to be saved, and somebody told me what the Bible says. I'm telling you, sinner, if you're here this morning, you're sitting in a good place. Not because I'm preaching to you, but because you're under the sound of the gospel. Amen. You can be saved this morning if you'll receive the gospel message. Amen. The gospel will save you today. And Christ had a sovereign ministry, and Christ has a submissive ministry. And look at verse 10. He has a saving ministry. For it became him for whom all things, and by him are all things. Notice this. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. I'm glad that Jesus came to this world. You say, why did he come? To bring many sons to glory. Amen. He is the captain of our salvation this morning. I'll tell you this morning, when you think about that word captain, it means a leader. It means one who goes first, that others follow. And that's what Jesus did. Thank God. What the Old Testament sacrifices and what the Old Testament priests could not do, Christ, the Lamb of God, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. Christ, the Lamb of God, stepped on the scene, lived 33 and a half years in this world, went to Calvary, amen. Walked up Calvary's brow with an old rugged cross. Died between two thieves. Shed his blood so that you and I could be saved and satisfied the altar in heaven. And what them Old Testament sacrifices could not do, Christ did it at Calvary. He became the supreme sacrifice. He became the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of this world, amen. Calvary was not an accident. For the Bible said that Christ was a lamb that was slain from the foundations of this world. Can I say to you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you ought to get saved this morning. Salvation is in Him today. Salvation is not in church membership. It's not being a good person. It's not getting baptized. But salvation is in a person, not a plan. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to meet Him if you want to go to heaven this morning. He has to be real to you. If you can sit here this morning and in your heart know that God is real to you, that Christ is real, that you have a relationship with Christ this morning, that it's not just religion, you ought to thank God for that today. Amen. I'm glad that whenever we dismiss service here in a little while and we turn the lights out and everybody goes their separate way, I'm glad it doesn't end. Amen. Thank God this isn't, if all I had was religion, I probably would only want to go to church once a week. Amen. I don't even think I'd want to go, Brother Laddie, once a week. I'll be honest with you, I'd probably have a headache every other week, or I'd stay home. I'd find some reason to be sick. Amen. You say, why you won't come to church? Same reason you do if you're saved. Amen. Hey, something on the inside. You know, I really don't care what's going on at church. Amen. I don't care who's doing the preaching. I don't care who's doing the singing. I just want to be in the house of God. Don't you? I want to be around the saints of God. I want to be around the book. Amen. I want to worship God. God in song, want to worship God in the word of God, amen, whether preaching or listening. I'm telling you, if you're saved, there's something on the inside that makes you connect. Thank God your rapture ready, amen. I'm telling you, the trumpet was a sound right now. I'd just soon spend Christmas in glory as a spend it down here, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, wouldn't that be the gift of all gifts to get a new body and to see loved ones and family members and friends on the other side? I'm telling you, when it comes, thank God, we're pulling out. We're leaving this world and we're going to a better world, and they can have it as far as I'm concerned. I thank God on the hillsides of glory. We'll worship and we'll praise God throughout eternity. Amen. It's going to be a great day, isn't it? In the world, as they sung a while ago, they see Jesus only as a babe in a manger. Thank God to us this morning, he's far more than that. You know, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but that birth wouldn't have meant anything had he not died and rose from the dead. We believe in a living Savior. That's not a crucifix. It's behind that curtain, amen. But there's not a crucifix hanging on that wall. There's no dead Jesus hanging there. We're not Catholics this morning. Thank God we don't pray to Mary, we pray to God. Amen. We got a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We can hold fast our profession, amen. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points he was tempted like as we are, and yet without sin, amen. I'm glad, thank God. Then the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Mary's not mentioned anywhere there. But thank God Jesus is, amen. Mary was a good woman, but we don't pray to Mary. Thank God we got access to the Father. Father, into this grace wherein we do stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When the blood was applied, thank God we were granted access, and now we can come before God into his presence, and we pray to God and we worship God and we worship the Son. Hallelujah. He's alive this morning. He's not hanging on a cross. He came. He has a saving ministry. And sinner, he'll save you this morning. He'll save you today. If you'll swallow your pride, come to Christ, he'll save you. The Bible said in verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them, notice this, brethren. I think we ought to call each other brother and sister, don't you? I get real nervous when people in church claim to be saved and they don't call everybody without using brother and sister. Amen. Hey, so that's Rick over there, you know? Or they'll just say, that's Chris. That's just something left out, isn't it? And that's Tim. That's just something left out if you're saved, amen? I'm glad we don't do that around here, amen? I mean, we call people brother, we call people sister. In fact, if you don't know somebody's name, it always works to say brother or say, how you doing, sister, amen? I'm telling you, it'll be to your advantage sometimes, amen? But I'm telling you, look, if you're saved, and if they're saved, you call them brother. You know, before the cross, they were called disciples. They were called friends. They were called sheep, but they were not called brethren, amen? But you know what Calvary did? Calvary brought us all together, amen? It broke down the middle wall. Hallelujah. Partition between the Jew and the Gentile. There's no more separation. There's no more, thank God, sheep and disciple. We are disciples, but hallelujah. The Bible said we be brethren. Amen. Calvary put us all in the family of God. And hallelujah. I'm glad. Thank God. I'm in the family. Hallelujah. I don't want to be, hey, don't call me, listen, I don't want to be called doctor, I don't want to be called potentate, I don't want to be called any of that mess, I don't want to be called bishop, somebody say amen, I want to be called brother, hallelujah. Isn't that right? I go some places and everybody's a doctor. I start feeling sick when I get around people like that. doctor this and doctor that. I'm like, hey, we be brethren. Can I get a witness on that? And if you're not a brother, you could be one today. I'm not worthy to be called brethren, neither are you. But the Bible said in that verse that he sanctified and we're all one this morning. We sing that old song, I'm proud. That's probably not a good word. I think that's the word in it. To be a part, I'm so glad. Well, somebody knew what they was writing about, didn't they? I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm telling you, sinner, you don't know what you're missing out on this morning. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And then you need to get baptized. And baptism won't save you, but if you really get saved, you'll want to get baptized. You said, well, I already got baptized. No, you got dunked if you wasn't saved. You need to come to this altar and get saved this morning. Then you need to get baptized. And then you need to join a local church. Well, a lot of people don't join local churches no more. You need to join a local church. Get saved and get baptized and join a church. Join this church. Amen. And join this church. And you say, why do I need to do that? Because we're all one. Amen. When I got saved, I was very shy. And so I would not get baptized for 6 months. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stand to be, you know, in front of people. And I didn't want to go to the front of the church. And I remember one Sunday morning they was having baptism. And the preacher preached. And I got the courage not to be baptized, but I got the courage to go down to the altar that morning. I don't know what possessed that, but I went down to the altar, and I remember I got an altar, and I said, Lord, I give you my life. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And the Lord, he must have a sense of humor, because it took a lot for me just to go down to the front and all these other people down there. He let me, Brother Laddie, get all the way back to my seat, and when I got back to my seat, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to be baptized. Go back down to that altar and stand down front with all them people and get baptized. And my heart sunk because that was two trips in one Sunday I had to make in one service. But I told the Lord, I give you my life, whatever you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you something. I did not grow in my Christian life those first 6 months, hardly, if any at all. Because I didn't understand the importance of following the Lord in believer's baptism. When you get saved, you get baptized. That's the first commandment. But baptism means nothing if you've never been born again. I wonder this morning as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying. I just want to ask you a simple question. Are you saved? And what I mean by that, I don't, before you just say yes, I just simply mean this. Do you know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin? You say, Brother Gravely, I don't even know what that means. That's all right. If you died this morning, very simply put, if you died right now, not based on your goodness, not based on what you've done, where would you be in eternity?